We thank you, Lord, for this word and ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and open our hearts to you more fully in this Eucharist. Praise your name. So I guess it's hard to estimate, but probably on that hillside in Galilee, there are around about 10 to 12,000 people. It says 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children, huh? So out of that, it's probably about, well, it could be 12,000. That's a lot of people to feed, isn't it? And there's no tip-top trucks or anything like that. But the apostles say, well, look, how about if we just let the people go off to the villages and get something to eat because it's getting towards evening and this is a lonely place. And notice what Jesus says to them. He says, you don't have to let them go. Give them something to eat yourselves. Now, that must have really struck the apostles as being very strange because it was impossible for them to give something to eat. They only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's that amongst so many? They say to the Lord. No, it's impossible. And the Lord's confronting them with their own impossibility, with their own incapacity, with their own inadequacy, if you like, in being able to meet the situation. But notice what the Lord says to them. He says, bring what you have to me. Now that's really important to catch hold of, because they only had a little. But they were to bring what they have to him. We can think of our gifts and our resources and think of how little we really have to be able to meet the big demand of evangelizing the world today. We don't have much. The Lord says, bring what little you have. And also bring the burden that's in your heart as well, for the problem that's at hand. That we can't feed these people. Jesus says, give them something to eat. But we don't have much to give. And then Jesus says, well, bring what you have to me. Surrender it to me. Give it over to me. And that's what happens. They simply bring the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. That's all they had. And Jesus, we're told, says the blessing prayer, and then what's he do? He breaks the bread, and he hands it not to the people, but to the disciples, because he's teaching the disciples something. He said to them, give them something to eat. And they're saying, we can't. It's impossible. And then Jesus says, okay, give what you've got to me. And then after the blessing, he gets them to distribute. So the miracle happens in the hands of the disciples. That's the important thing to notice. The ones who couldn't possibly have done it. But that's where the miracle happens, from their hands. Jesus just gives them the 5 loaves broken and they start distributing and it just keeps coming more and more and more. And when the people are satisfied, there's still 12 basketfuls left over. You see, the point that's being made here very strongly is that no matter how inadequate we feel, no matter how weak and broken that we are, no matter how little resource we feel we have, when we bring it all to Jesus and surrender ourselves to him and put ourselves in his hands and put all that we have in his hands, then he can do the far greater thing. That God works in a new way, in a powerful way, when we're prepared to come that way to him, to let him do the multiplication. That's impossible for us. You know, as last year, the end of the year, remember when the super typhoon went through the Philippines? At that time, I was actually overseas. I was in Bethlehem. And I was watching it in my hotel room on the screen, and I was weeping because of the incredible devastation and the loss of life. And I have a heart for the Philippines because we have a mission in the Philippines. And I was just sort of broken by the whole thing. And I knew that Father Bart Pastor, who has a big ministry in Tacloban, which was one of the major cities that was hit, was meant to come to the conference that I was at. And I thought it'd be impossible for him to come. But the next day, to my great surprise, he walked into the room. And he ran straight to me, and we embraced one another because he'd just come from the typhoon. And he just wept and wept and wept. And I prayed with him, and he said, "You couldn't believe what I've seen and where I've been." The next day he gave a homily at the Mass, and we were all deeply moved as he described the 10,000 people that had been killed. The bodies were just lying there, draped over with cloths, rotting, because no help had come. This was 5 days later. And there was no food, there was no water, there was no shelter. All of the houses in the village that he had built over many years, it was his life work. It was a Christian village that he built, a Catholic village. And it was all, every house was razed to the ground. The chapel still stood, and he said there was a statue of Our Lady that was still standing, and he saw that as a sign of hope. There's another statue of Jesus. And Jesus had his arms taken off, but his face was still shining and his heart was still there. And he saw that as a sign of the heart of love of Christ was still with us and the face was still shining upon us. The face of Christ, a sign of hope in the midst of such devastation and such incredible loss that they were experiencing at that time. And then he used that scripture text that we had today in the second reading. And this, of course, is the message that we're going to bring, isn't it? And I've never heard it preached more effectively in this circumstance. As he said, why? What is the meaning of what we have gone through? Well, so that we can testify to the truth of our love for Jesus and his love for us. The face of Christ is still shining upon us, and his heart is still burning for us. And he quoted this beautiful text that nothing can come between us and the love of Christ. Even when, you know, we're troubled or worried, when we're persecuted, or even when we're without food and clothing, even when we're threatened and attacked. But these are the trials through which we triumph for the power of him who loved us. Because the message was so powerful, we were just blown away. And then Paul goes on to say, doesn't he, that I can be sure of this, that you can be certain of this, that there's neither life nor death. There's no power on this earth, neither life nor death, no angel, no prince, nothing that exists, and nothing yet to come, no power, no height, no depth, no created thing that can come between us and the love of God made visible in Jesus Christ, and the love of God made visible on that cross. Nothing can come between us. No matter a typhoon to come through and take out the whole village, he said. But we are alive to testify to our love in Jesus Christ. And he says, as I looked at the corpses and saw all the corpses lying on the ground, I felt Jesus saying to me, as he said to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Follow me." Of course, we're all weeping as he gave this beautiful testimony to faith in the midst of deep adversity. And I was thinking about that today because from the gospel, we know we're in an impossible situation as a church at this moment. We've lost so many people who've just abandoned the faith. Now, in my own lifetime, we've moved from a church attendance of the Catholic people from about 65-70% to now 15%. And it seems like we're on a further downward spiral. We could lose hope. And we see in the situation of the world today too, because there's no love of God, that family life has become so dislocated and broken. And so many situations now where people are without hope, left in very dislocated sort of situations and despairing circumstances. And we're the ones who are the bearers of the message of hope. And just as Father Bart Pastor could give message of hope and that sort of devastation, as it were, in the typhoon that's hit us here in this country, the typhoon of lack of faith, and we too at this moment as a church can speak words of hope that nothing can come between us and the love of Christ. And every human heart needs to know that truth, that nothing can come between us than the love of God made visible in Jesus Christ when he hung on that cross for our sake. Nothing. And so many people, of course, have tragedies in their life, do they not? And how do we meet it? I'm oftentimes left just speechless as I listen to people talk about the sorrow of their hearts and the pain and the agony in which they live. And the relationships that are broken. But the truth is that nothing can come between us and the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that we preach. It's the love of Christ that brings hope to the lost. It's the love of Christ will lift people in the moment of their deepest despair. And this knowledge of Christ's love is what we testify to and what we bring. And just as on that mountainside, you know, we feel a bit like the apostles, we can't do it. How can we bring this message to our despairing world? Well, let's bring what little we have to Jesus and allow him to work through us so that we be the instruments of love to those who so much need this message of love. You know, that gospel is very much cast by the evangelist in Eucharistic tones. Notice how Jesus took the bread and he said the blessing prayer and then he broke and then he gave. That's what's happening here. On your behalf, I'm taking the bread as it's brought up at the offertory, and on your behalf, I'm saying the blessing prayer, the great Eucharistic prayer to God with great confidence in his mercy and his love for his people. And on your behalf, I'm breaking the bread. And then I'm handing to you, giving to you. That's the Eucharistic action. I'm not saying that what happened on the hillside there in Galilee was the Eucharist. It was not. But it's written up in such a way to remind us of what Eucharist is like. And what Eucharist is meant to bring about. You see, we receive the Christ here so that the real miracle can happen, our own personal transformation, so that we become messengers of the love of Christ. That we discover in our own personal broken lives that nothing can come between us and the love of Jesus, that he is the sure anchor of our lives, And with that hope in our hearts, then we go out to bring that hope to others, to the crowd, as it were, just as Jesus handed to the disciples. And it was at the hands of the disciples that the miracle happened. So in our hands, too, the miracle will happen. Remember that statue I mentioned? It was without hands. Christ is a bit like that in the world today. We're meant to be his hands. We're meant to bring the bread to others. Jesus says to us, give them something to eat. To each one of us, we have something to give. You say you have nothing to give? Well, bring what you have to Jesus. Let him transform you, and you will have so much more to give. He will use you. He will use each one of us, weak and broken as we are, for his purposes of bringing his message of love and hope to a world that so much has lost it and so much needs this love of Christ. And to know that Christ has not abandoned us, that he's right with us in the midst of our deepest struggle and pain and suffering. And we can find hope in him and only in him. Ultimately, our hope is found in God. Bless his name.